Hello, everyone. We're back. Happy Wednesday when you're listening to this. We're all alive. The sun came up. Quinn, let's get it going, buddy.
Pretty boring last few days, huh?
Just a little peek behind the curtain. I walked in and Quinn was like, let me start this thing off. I got something. But so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to the game and we'll get to the rest of the season. But obviously, we're recording on Tuesday. Typically, we record on a Monday. But
yeah,
Tuesday morning right now. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you know, news came out that Phoenix Sproles has, you know, left the team. I think he's gray shirting or red shirting for injury, and then we'll play somewhere next year. That's the understanding I got from it.
Because he played as a true freshman. He has a red shirt left and then played less than four games this year, or four games or less, whatever it was.
Okay.
So he's going to red shirt and then finish up wherever he goes.
Yeah, and like we don't need to talk about it that much. The one thing that we did want to like talk about is, and I really don't have that. I mean, I don't really have a problem with Phoenix at all. We weren't in any of the same circles socially, so I never really crossed his path that much if we weren't, you know, in the locker room. But no matter if you like someone, dislike them, it's your right to like go and post something if you want. But and I'm not naming names. If you guys want to go find it, you can go find the stuff on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, wherever it was posted. But when you're a former player, I think even if you didn't play with a guy, or especially if you played with him.
I think especially if you didn't play with him.
Yeah, especially if you didn't play with him, because then you really don't know him, like, at all. But I don't know if it's just not necessary to go on, and, like, we're talking about it now, but it's not necessary to go on social media and just, you know, try to throw someone under the bus when it's already done. There's nothing more to say about it, because, you know, I don't know if it was like an amicable split or what kind of what happened behind the scenes, but what's done is done. He's going to leave and ECU's going to play the rest of their season, and that's just what it is. And there's really no need to, like, as a former player, played with him or didn't play with him, there's just no need to go comment under, you know, the post that he's leaving and, you know, say, like, all the stuff that was said.
Like, hurtful stuff. Like, character damaging stuff.
Right.
I think that's what I have a bigger problem with. I would label my feelings about this as, like, extreme indifference.
Yeah.
The season goes on. Like, it's not everybody. 30 guys didn't pack ship and leave. It has nothing to do with the SDSU loss. I can guarantee you that.
That's probably been the not that any of this
I
is funny.
SDSU's hanging their hat on.
Yeah,
that.
But like this being a SDSU thinking they're the catalyst of, you know, Phoenix leaving is kind of funny. But
and I like I said, it's just an indifference thing. I'm not happy or sad Phoenix is leaving. It's and it has nothing to do with his production or who he was as a person. Like you said, I never really interacted with Phoenix a whole lot. I don't think it was to the point where, you know, the former guys that were commenting on it were making him out to like to be the worst person to ever step foot in the locker room. And I don't think that's the case. He might have been whatever Phoenix was, however you want to characterize it.
And then here's the thing, and he wasn't, but like, let's say he was like, just let's say you had someone that's like the worst teammate ever, was like, you know, damaging the locker room, like hated his teammates, like cussed out coaches. Like, let's just say it was the worst. Let's just say like the worst guy ever decided to enter the transfer portal and like leave. You still like just then that's it.
Yeah.
There's no need to go and like make an argument whether or not it was good or not that he left, because he's gone, so it doesn't matter.
I texted you and I just described it as like a code break. Like, it was just stuff that didn't need to be said, especially with like just throwing out vague generalities. I think it just seemed like a soft move to like, now he's gone. If you had this to say, why weren't you saying it when he was here? You know? And then it's just, like I said, it was a pot shot as somebody's on their way out of town. I didn't like how it felt.
And now we got... And now we got someone apparently that used to play here. We got burner accounts out there now replying. I think Cole Jurek said it when we talked to him after the game. I think players currently on the team, they need some Chubbs nights together.
Yeah.
I think some former players need to get together and have some Chubbs nights together.
Yeah, just need to break bread.
Yeah.
I think everybody needs to calm down a little bit.
Yeah. I think when the Packers, Ross will know the year, but they started out super crappy.
Sure.
And Rodgers just R-E-L-A-X.
Yeah, I think they made a deep playoff run or whatever. Yeah. I just
think everyone needs to chill out a little bit.
But. Yeah, across the board. It's never pretty when somebody leaves the program, no matter who they are. But when they're as high profile as Phoenix is, and I want to give credit to a lot of NDSU fans. I think I saw a lot of people giving Phoenix love, and I think that talks more to who Phoenix was as a person and what he did for the community in Fargo. Pretty few and far between of like the good riddance tweets, and I think that's what hurt me more to see it from former players, that, you know, guys who weren't involved in the program and know how things operate didn't chime up and say that, you know, as far as the fan aspect.
One of those things, like, you either, if you want to wish him luck, wish him luck. If you don't, then just don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything. What's the M&M? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah. The one thing let's jump back to Saturday.
Yeah, I'm like I said, it's a very nuanced conversation and a lot of aspects, and it involves people we know, so it's just kind of
it involves a guy that I didn't really know that much. I mean, Phoenix was 2 years younger than me, and I mean, we were on the same team for, I mean, it was kind of only like a year and a half technically, considering COVID. And like I said, he was just younger than me, and I didn't ever really cross paths with him outside of the locker room. And we've talked about it on here before. Like, I never had any beefs. Like, I didn't really see any beefs within the locker room. And if guys did have beefs with each other, they would just settle that outside the locker room. I mean, there's no really animosity once you get inside there. So, like I said, like, I just never crossed paths with them outside, so I don't really have a problem with them. And if you're a former player listening to this, just, if you want to wish them luck, obviously do it. Yeah. If you don't, then just don't.
And I think it's weird to not wish him luck, I guess. Yeah. Like,
if you want to get something off your chest, like, that's listening to it has group chats of friends, like, just go in there, let your grievances go. But, like, you don't need to do it on Twitter, I don't think of it as this way, but the reactions I've seen on Twitter, especially when from the outside looking in, people think like the building is burning down.
Yeah.
So why bring more attention to it being a former player? If you really love this place, like you say you do, then, you know, just leave it.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah. I'm thankful to that it has.
It's just weird.
It is.
I'm not weirded out, but when I like saw everything happening last night, I was just like, this is weird. Like, why are we doing this?
It's like stuff that is so uncharacteristic from former players.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with like the vitriol that has come with the season already, with like us not playing well, and then not playing well for stretches of time. It's not like we've played bad all season, but it's just I could see how somebody from a third party view looks at what's happening on social media with NDSU without knowing what's going on inside of the building.
Right.
Like, I could get how this looks bad.
Yeah. Well, jumping back to Saturday, Bunny's got us again.
Yeah.
This one hurt too. I mean, I was having a good time in tailgate, having a super good time during the first half.
Yeah.
And then that halftime hits and, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta
maintain, Quinn.
Yeah.
I was in the press box, so I didn't partake in any of that.
Well, it was just a mixture of, like, me trying to be responsible, so I stopped having fun at halftime.
Right.
And then the game is
Stop being fun
at halftime. So the difference between, like, that hour between, like, the second and, like, fourth quarter, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we lost.
Do you remember after the Arizona game when I got on here and said if we lost in that fashion to SDSU, I would drive my car into the cactus and never leave?
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. It was pretty much the same game as far as us shooting ourselves in the foot, playing a good first half, and then nothing else really happening in the second half.
Right. I mean, that first half, I was like, we're back.
Yeah.
Like,
we're the best team in the country.
Yeah, like it's not even close. Any, like, movie, like, GIFs you can think of online or, like, the, you know, Undertaker Rising and all that.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw tweets, like, who's the – that Sam Herder guy.
Yep, Sam Herder.
Sam Herder. He tweeted like,
great coverage of the FCS.
Yeah. Yep. He tweeted like, oh boy. Like in the first half, I saw this tweet. He's like, oh boy, this was NDSU's. Don't forget.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, that first half, it was, I think, did the turnover happen in the first half?
Yeah.
Besides that.
We were driving down to go up 28-7 and a half.
Right.
With some change left on the clock.
Yeah.
And Cole Payton threw the pick.
Right. After, I mean, and I want to obviously not say anything I don't mean, but sure. One of the like worst, like actually one of the worst unsportsmanlikes I've ever seen as far as getting called.
Oh no, I'll say it. That ref is like, it's like the classic, you know how basketball people talk about the charge call being cool, so refs want to call it.
Yeah, did you see the theatrics?
He looked at Cam in his face and then throws the flag 40 feet in the air like he's the coolest dude on the field. It's not about you. Like, let the guys play and celebrate after having a good play.
Who's the one, Tony Corrente or Corrente, whatever. He was like, I mean, he was a ref in the NFL last year, like 70-whatever years old.
Sure.
And one of the DNs for the Bears did that sweet like spinning kick, like yeah. UFC style.
Sure.
And then Corrente just throws the flag 1,000 feet in the air. It's like, so you're calling it unsportsmanlike for guys being flashy while doing
something yourself flashy. Looking cool.
Yeah.
If you're going to be about it, just drop the flag on the ground.
And then Cody had one in the second half where he wasn't even taunting, but it was that's what they teach. We do drills.
Yes.
We do, like, the old linemen do drills to extend their arms at the whistle.
If
and the guy didn't even fall.
Yeah. You know, we go in and talk about on Mondays, we have the TNT cut up with Coach Entz, and it says a whole team. It's a take no talent. Takes no talent. It's guys showing good effort or guys showing lacking effort or stuff that needs to be fixed during the game.
Sure.
I guarantee that Cody penalty got shown and said, Cody, do this every play for
every
the rest
time.
Of the year. I get, like, that is what coaches want.
Well,
and
the thing is,
you'll eat those penalties.
He's probably done it all year.
Right. He has.
Because we've seen the film. Like, he's been doing that to people all year.
Yeah.
So, like, taking it, like, that's when, like, you see refs taking, not that those, I mean, those were two huge penalties, obviously, that hurt those drives.
Yeah.
I'm not saying those were, like, the game changers because there's a couple bigger plays that probably happened that affected the outcome more. But, like, as a ref, like, you are now taking it into your hands.
Correct.
When you're calling that stuff.
And it's – and whatever SDSU fans can get on here, I don't know how much of their listenership is on here, but just – you can take this as us blaming the refs, and I just want it to be – if they would have called that on SDSU and it changed the game, I would have been like, that's gross. Don't call that. Let the actual play decide it. Cam throws that dot to Braylon, and then he does the bow and arrow celebration. That's one thing where it's like, sure, the ref was an idiot and threw that flag. Just don't give him the opportunity to throw it. And Cam will grow from that. And
yeah, I guess.
I was kind of surprised to see Cam do that, I guess. He's not really an emotional guy as far as what he shows on the field. But
I want to give Cam some credit, too. One, for the game. He played a really good game. But, two, that – can you imagine what it's like to go into those press conferences after?
No.
So I'm not calling anybody out, mostly because I can't tell who asks questions in those.
Sure.
Like,
let's just blame Ross right now.
Yeah. but like the mic cuts in and out for the people that are like asking the questions, so you only get like a little bit of it.
Right.
One of the questions Cam got was like, you know, asking about the penalty. And he just said, you know, probably shouldn't have done it, but not going to change who I am. That's who I am. And
I love that.
Love that. Second question, like I said, don't know who asked it. It was, and like, I don't know. Whoever asked it, they asked, you know, you guys get the ball with 2 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do you want to do there? It's like, hey, he wants to score. What do you mean? He wants to score. They want to win the game. Like,
I don't think
Cam, so like Cam like had to sit there and like, just like take in the question
right.
And then just be like, And then he basically just like went through the whole drive.
Yeah, he wasn't like I wanted to go four and out after gaining 30 yards.
Yeah. But what we would have said.
Yeah.
I just been jerks about it.
It's like the Baylor basketball player when he's like, the reporter's like, how does Yale get out-rebounded by, or how does Baylor get out-rebounded by Yale? And he's like,
they jump higher.
The ball came off the glass and they went up and grabbed the ball with two hands and came down with the ball.
We need more guys around here to probably answer questions like that.
Yeah.
But
I just, and you know, whatever, I think
we won't go through a full game recap. We'll leave that up to Ross and the boys.
The X's and O's guys. Yeah. But
it just hurt. Like, just because they played so well in the second, in the first half, and then, something just changed. And obviously, I think now it is 17, or it's like 16 straight years, whoever has had the most time of possession has won the game rivalry.
That's a pretty clear indicator.
Yeah, and we had it in the first.
It felt like we had the ball for 7 total minutes in the second half.
It was, I think it was 19, 50 seconds for them, and also it was like 10.
That's not good enough.
No.
But I just.
And they scored on all their drives but one, I think. They had three field goals and a touchdown.
I have to tip my hat to SDSU, too, because they were opportunistic and, you know, got all the momentum back while we kind of sat on our heels. And they capitalized it.
Yeah.
Capitalized on it. That being said.
That being said.
I've been talking about the entire year, you know, keep the marker, we'll beat you in the playoffs. Sure. But. And that's what has happened historically.
And we haven't actually played him in the playoffs since like 2018.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's coming. I feel and like this is the year we get it back to.
And here's the
get
thing:
him back in the playoffs.
If you want to look for a silver lining in this game, is that we started hot, and that hadn't been the case in the games that we were down.
Last week was kind of opposite.
Yeah.
Just played a bad second half.
You know, you guys can, or the you know NDSU can put it together.
Yeah.
It's just playing a good game. And I mentioned in a couple spots that you have to be up the entire game against a good team.
Yeah.
And that's what happened against SDSU. They kind of stepped their foot off their throats and the Jackrabbits came back and beat us.
And obviously the defense, they don't want to give up 16 points in the second half, but defense did, you know, I think they gave up a touchdown to start the second.
Yeah.
And everything else was field goals.
Yeah. Just as a big old guy, I know.
It was bend or don't break for the defense, which sometimes that's the case. And really, 23 points. I mean, I think when I was on defense, our number was always 17.
Yeah.
But you're playing number 2 team in the FCS. Yeah, you're at home, and the environment was great. So 23, they think that's too many. But, you know, 20, it's not bad.
And you give up a couple scores, but like Kleiman always said, you don't lose by giving up field goals.
Yeah.
And they scored twice, obviously, and then had the 3 field goals. But, I mean, if you're making a guy score 9 points – off his legs, that's better than 3 scores.
Yeah. If you would have told me at halftime that NDSU needed a field goal to win the game in the second, I would have bet the house on it. Luckily, I didn't. But
yeah, I'm telling Kendra you said that. I know what the conversations were in the offensive room. Just being through games like that is like they will never look at the other side of the field and say, "Hey, why didn't you guys stop them?"
No.
And because of how that second half went.
Neither side. I mean, what was it? It was 2016, my freshman year. We won 2 overtime games to start the year at home against Eastern and Charleston Southern.
Yeah.
And, like, the scores like were, like,
point score.
Yeah, the scores were, like, 52-50 both games. And, like, there was no blaming. Because no matter how bad a defense plays, because, like, our defense just played, like, crap against Charleston Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in overtime. Well, then our Wimbush makes the pick to win the game.
Right.
So, like, you just never – you can't ever blame that side, and I know they don't.
You have to play complimentary football the entire game.
Yeah, and we just didn't have it in the second half.
Yeah, you can't have one leaning on the other because, you know, offense can't get in a groove when defense is giving up long drives, and defense can't play at their full capacity when we're going 3 and out.
Yeah.
So, I'm not as concerned as – some NDSU fans seem to be. The world is never burning. I promise you, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a football game. I think that perspective needs to maintain. I hate losing as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
But the sun comes up the next day.
Well, speaking of the world burning down.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I was transitioning to. But
I get yelled at on Sundays. Not for watching too much NFL, even though I do. Mm-hmm. Kendra yells at me because I love one of my favorite hobbies after an NDSU game is going on both Bisonville and the number one NDSU fan page on Facebook.
Why do you do it?
I think of everyone on those pages just like characters, like TV characters.
Right.
Like there's no way these are real people. But that being said, a lot of hate on Ents and T-Roll specifically.
Yeah, and I don't know where it's warranted.
So after a little research.
Yeah.
Coach Ents took over in 2019.
Yep.
Had the 2021 spring season. Had the 2021 fall season. Mm-hmm. In those three seasons, and including this year, I think. Yeah.
2-7.
And including this year. They are 42 and 6-7. I think it's 6, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's 3-1 last year.
Whatever it is. It's single-digit losses in 3 years.
It's 42-6 and 2 national championships in the 2 fall seasons. And in the spring season, if you want to be mad about that spring season when 12 seniors, including myself, left.
Yeah.
The entire O-line was injured. New quarterback, like, twice or three times.
Yeah.
You know, new defensive starters. And it was a spring season. So,
yeah.
If, you know, if fans are listening right now that are, you know, if you're the ones I'm talking about that are mad at Coach Ents and T-Roll and you're still mad after those stats, then, you know, you can be mad, I guess. I don't know.
And, like, I've talked about Coach Roll before. 2019 engineered one of the best offenses to ever step foot on NDSU, broke the all-time rushing record, and I believe broke the record for most points scored in a season.
Yeah.
And then you look at last year, who was – that last year's offense was statistically maybe 2 or 3 spots behind that 2019 team, and this year they're rolling still. I don't know how anybody can watch a football game and say the offense is not rolling.
Yeah, and like I'm not gonna. Obviously, when you lose games, it's not one person's fault, but it's definitely like the coach is going to take blame.
Yeah,
the player is going to take blame, mm-hmm. and they both should because it's collectively it is everyone's fault.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's
the
not
the Bison one, lost. The Bison defense didn't lose. The Bison offense didn't lose.
And people were pissed because after the game, one of the reporters said, like, you know, what happened? And Coach Ents said, they scored more points than us. I told you guys last week, Ents isn't this goody two-shoe.
No.
That's a gritty dude.
Yeah.
And, like,
he's pissed.
Yeah, he's pissed off. And, like, he's not going to go up there and act like everything's perfect because it's not. They've lost 2 games. And guess what? Like, that's not normal here. And, like, that's why people get pissed when they lose.
Right.
Because, like, oh, they lost 2 games. They're having, if you want to call this a down year, just look at it this way, which it's not. But they are 6-2 or 5-2? What is it?
6-2. That was, no, 5-2.
Okay.
This is week 8.
5-2.
Whatever.
Yeah. 5-2. First loss to an FBS team that's obviously they're not doing great. I just went and looked at their record. I think they're, mm-hmm. I think they're like 3-4 or 2-4. But you know, they lost to an FBS team. Okay, big deal. Season's still ahead of them. Everything they want in front of them. They lost to SDSU, which mentally, guys on the team circle that game in their mind because that's just the one you don't want to lose.
Yep.
But they lost it.
Yeah.
In some polls across the country, SDSU was already number one.
Yeah.
So then you either lost to the number one or the number two team by 2 points, and you could really put it on Bison beating the Bison. And the Arizona game, you can put it on the Bison beating the Bison.
Absolutely.
They had all those penalties, the bad turnover. So they've lost 2 games this year where it wasn't even the case of, like, the other team necessarily being better. I mean, Arizona fans and SDSU fans, you know, they have the right to think this, but obviously they think that they are the better teams, which is fine.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, like, if you think the world is burning because they lost 2 games because of, like, penalties and not playing their best football. They didn't lose 2 games because they're the worst football team.
Yeah, and all that aside, look at it. From this perspective, we're 2 quarters away from being 7-0.
Yeah.
If we throw an extra good quarter in either of those football games, we're 7-0 right now.
An extra good drive.
Yeah.
Or an extra stop. It's like, it's, yeah.
And I get yelled at too by Julia, but it's because I check people on Twitter. And
I love it. I think it's funny.
But it's just like, if I showed up at AE2S and you're an engineer, and after you got done yelling at Ents, I don't know what entails in your job. I don't know how to do your job better. But I'm like, hey, man, that project sucked. What are you doing? Yeah. You should be fired.
And here's another thing. I mean, if you know, there's been, the only rumors are people on the internet saying that, you know, Ents is part of this Nebraska hire list.
Rumors are rumors, yeah.
Right. So people are saying, you know, here's what I don't get. Since this whole run has started, Kleiman was the D coordinator. He got called up. Ents is the D coordinator. He got called up. If people, like, I think Matt Larson knows this too. I don't think we'll ever have, like, an outside hire head coach.
Yeah.
That's just not, because if people are mad now because they say, well, you know, lost two games, culture, it's changing.
Yeah.
We need someone else in there. So you want to keep the, you want to go back to the NDSU culture that you said is lost, but you want to do it by bringing in someone new.
Who do you think is going to instill that?
I hate to break this to you people that are thinking this. I'm not generalizing every Bison fan.
Yeah.
Bison fans are great. But just like anything else, if there's one bad one, that's the loudest. Right. That's why how you're looked at.
Yeah, and this is literally, you it's know who anything. You are. Yeah. Don't take offense to it if you know you aren't doing this.
But I hate to break it to everybody. Everyone that has left here has gone on to do bigger things.
Hey, and not and, only and that. And
bigger things that pay more. Coach Mess isn't coming back to be a head coach and 10th his salary.
Right.
Coach P isn't leaving Wyoming to come back for a fifth of his current salary.
Yeah.
Like, you become a head coach here, but, like, so, like, I don't know if they want to, like, grab someone else from an FCS school and have them come in and, like, oh, they'll just learn the Bison. Like, Coach Ents has been here for, like, 8 years.
It's a classic case of grass is greener. I just don't think.
Be careful what you wish for.
Coach Kleiman's not coming back through that door. Coach Bull's not coming back through your door. We played for Coach Ents. I think he's a good head coach. Yeah. And I think guys respect him and guys want to play for him because he is fiery. He has a player's mentality when he goes out there. He's pissed when we lose, and he's pissed when we play bad.
Hey, and I said it last week with Coach Ents, and I'm not saying Coach Kleiman was like – Coach Kleiman was like a really nice guy, so I'm not saying anything here.
Yeah.
But you see some coaches – like I said, this is not Coach Kleiman. I don't want anyone to think this is Coach Kleiman.
Yeah.
But we've been around coaches where, like, you don't even know where you stand with that guy.
Right.
Because they just, you know, they'll keep it to themselves. You always know where you were with Coach Ents.
Oh, yeah.
He would let you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people don't like, or I don't know, that's why some people don't like him.
He's not as soft and cuddly.
He's an honest dude.
Yeah.
And I think Blazek talked about it too. Blazek said, you know, I love North Dakota, but sometimes, like, the friendly neighbors, like, then you hear that, you know, they said something else about you to someone else. He's like, when I was at Rutgers and lived in New York, your neighbors would let you know what they thought of you.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the deal. If you had a bad neighbor and the neighbor did not like you, then you knew that he didn't like you, so you knew you didn't have to interact with him.
Yeah.
With Coach Ents, you always knew where you stood.
Mm-hmm.
And he always gave people opportunity to, you know, change his opinion about you.
Yeah.
It's not like he ever, like crossed you, like, put you on some, like, weird list.
Right.
Did anything like that. But he just said, hey, you know, you can play better.
And he was always transparent about
it.
And same with Coach Roll. The two people that I see getting their heads called for most are two of the most genuine, transparent, upright, good football coaches I've ever met, and people I've ever met.
So if we just want to recap it, Saturday obviously sucked.
Yeah.
Whether it was bad play calling, bad execution, it was probably both, because that's what happens when you lose.
Correct.
You have bad play calling and you have bad execution.
We were the more talented team.
Yeah.
It's just execution and mental stuff.
So the team's 5-2. I think they're the 3 right now.
Third in the valley,
yeah. I think, like, just nationally, too.
3-4, yeah.
3-4,
yep.
Depending on what poll you look at. I'm just saying, you can blame the coaches for a bad game.
Yeah.
But, like, if this team doesn't end up winning the national championship, God forbid, be careful what you wish for calling for people's jobs. And that's the craziest part about sports.
Yeah.
Because you see it in the NFL. I mean, that's what I've said on Twitter, and, like, me and you are Chargers fans, buddy.
Yeah.
We won last night.
Let's go.
That was a clap. 19-16, just a gritty football game on Monday Night Football.
Didn't watch a minute of it.
But, like, I've said it, like, Sean Payton's out there. I'm like, ooh, I want Sean Payton with Herbert. Yeah. And, like, but, like, I love, like, Staley sometimes because he's just an absolute lunatic.
Yeah.
He's just a wild boy. But the NFL, like, that's the craziest part about sports is people just openly go on Twitter or Facebook and just be like, fire that man.
Yeah, I don't think people realize with how insane that
with
is.
With no merit. I mean,
and
just
that's my bigger point is if you're going to get on there and criticize – I've had conversations with fans who know what they're talking about and have actual critiques. But if you're just like, Ents needs to go, what is T-Roll doing? Please tell me how you think you could improve what is happening.
Yeah.
The second half was just execution.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing is nuts. I think everybody, like we said, just needs to calm down a little bit. Yeah. And if you win, I made this point after the USC game. It's like, if we win, you guys aren't happy that we won by enough. And if we lose, heads need to roll. If you're so miserable every Saturday, why are you watching?
Oh, I don't even know. We might cut this. We might leave this in.
Oh, God.
So I got tickets to the game
on
Saturday. I was given 4 tickets. And the tickets were given to me with the idea, like, hey, find some Bison fans that you know and, like, go sit in the seats. And I'm like, yeah, deal. I go around tailgate.
I don't even want you to say this story.
I go around tailgate. I ask like 20 people. I'm like, hey, and like you can, 20 people I knew. I'm not going to ask strangers to sit by me if I have 4 tickets available.
Yeah.
3. So 1 for me, 3 for 3 other people. I got 10-ish people saying like, well, I already have tickets. So I'm like, great. And then I had like 10 more that said, whatever, going to watch the game somewhere else. So I said, I did my part. I tried. I was hanging out with 2 of my friends. One of them in my wedding.
From Larimore.
One of them was in my wedding. The other one is the brother of the best man of my wedding. I grew up with them. They're Jackrabbits fans.
Yeah.
And they're not obnoxious. They sat there the whole game. They would clap when SDSU got a first down. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And there was someone behind me that just said, like, you know, I think he knew who I was and just from listening to radio stuff, just said, you know, he talked loud enough so I could hear.
Right.
But I don't think he wanted me to turn around. So I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, cool. If I didn't know you and I wanted to talk around to you, I wouldn't have said it very loud either.
Yeah. But he said it just loud enough because he knew I would hear it.
Sure.
And he said, well, looks like I'm, you know, unsubscribing to whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Ross, if you lose a couple. And just, I don't know if that guy's listening, but if he is, that's why those guys were sitting by me.
Right.
2 dudes I grew up with and that I know very well.
That's weirdo
behavior. And they were not in the least, like, disrespectful.
Yeah.
We were sitting there. We were, you know, drinking beer. All 3 of us having a good time. I would cheer when NDSU did something well.
Mm-hmm.
They would cheer probably even more mild than when SDSU did something well.
Yeah, because they're...
But it's like, what do you...
Yeah.
Like, if like, and like I said, it's one... And I'm not saying he's a bad fan either. I really don't... I didn't even... I turned around once just to see what he looked like.
Yeah.
Cause after it all happened. But, you know, if SDSU... Or if NDSU wants to take, you know, credit for being great fans, I get being rowdy, but I just don't know why he was so butthurt about me having a couple of buddies by me that went to SDSU.
Yeah, especially
that didn't have tickets for the game, and I they were gonna go somewhere after or like go back to like his apartment. I was like, you guys can come in with me, like that's fine. Like everyone, 20 people said no. So
I had family that said no. Yeah, like nobody. They were either going to the game or had plans for it.
Yeah. That being said, the crowd on Saturday was amazing.
Yeah.
Hadn't been that loud for a while. I mean, probably, you know, I mean, that's what we were hoping for too. I mean, that's a big game. You're hoping it's going to be loud, and it was. And like I said, we have great, NDSU has great fans, but sometimes I'm just like, come
I think
on, people,
if you're
like,
going to,
this isn't even
get up and like check anybody about their love of the program. It can be a stranger or whatever, but them knowing you and
I spent 5 years riding the pine. Like,
yeah, you think we don't love this? Yeah,
it's like you think I'm trying to be like disrespectful.
Yeah, it's like just
5 years riding the pine
and
for free.
He could have just been making a joke and stuff, but like it's just kind of weirdo behavior, I guess.
It wasn't a joke because he said it a couple times.
But. So, yeah. But on a brighter note,
yeah,
I want to talk about this felt like a reunion. All the old guys that were back in town and all the graduates. It was just good to see everybody. All the old guys, like I saw Perk in the tailgating lot.
Oh, I missed Perk.
Eric Perkins. He obviously played here. He actually trained me at Dynasty in high school.
Yeah.
And then he became the assistant strength coach at NDSU. And now he's at a training house down in the city. He's killing it, training professional athletes and college athletes who are soon to be professional athletes. It was just cool to see him. And that's what SSU does. A game like this brings everybody back together.
And I thought I would see more guys during homecoming, but I think it's just because SDSU was the week after or the next home game. I think guys had that circled on their list a little bit. Right. But, I saw a bunch of guys, and it was cool to see. I mean, you just kind of felt like you were – couple years younger, still on the team, but except now you're
old
and drunk and in the concourse instead.
Speaking of old and drunk, guess who didn't even make it downtown, folks? Oh, Quinn Ollo. He's talking this big game. He had Do Not Disturb was on at 8:30. I knew he was not coming out.
Yeah, I went home and ate a giant bowl of soup. What do you want me to do?
Quinn gave me a ride home, and we were... Like, I was holding the Tennessee-Alabama game on because I wanted Alabama to lose. Kind of a closet Tennessee fan.
Yeah, and we were debating whether or not I should go out.
And he gets a text from his wife. Shout out, Kendra. Love K-Dog. She says, do you want me to warm up soup for you? Like, you are so washed,
it's
bro.
Like, am I 90 years old?
You're 1,000 years old.
But guess what I did? I went home, ate soup. Ate a piece of apple crisp, and I went to sleep.
You're at 1,000.
And it was awesome. But
hey, what a Saturday for you.
No, but then I woke up, on a Sunday at like 7:30, and I was like, wow, I feel amazing.
Yeah, I stayed out till bar closed and didn't leave my bed till 2 p.m. So.
Yeah. No, not for me anymore.
Oh, my God.
Not for me when I played.
Yeah, also true.
I've been old forever.
We got you out on Halloween last year. I'll hang my hat on that.
Never again.
Talking about things we love, Quinn, and things that make us feel good, things that make us feel assured that we're doing the right thing, like going home and eating soup and eating apple crisp. Let's talk about Tundra Insurance.
Nothing says soup and apple crisp like Tundra Insurance.
Just right down the plate, what you need.
American.
What you need, we got.
American made.
Yeah.
North Dakota made. Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to acknowledge the joke, but these are like intentionally horrible ad reads. We don't plan them. We kind of just go off the cuff if you hadn't noticed by now, but we just did. Tundra Insurance, you guys are doing great out here. You have multiple carriers to pull from. You can work with Ross or Quinn if you like one or the other, more or less. But great, the right rates, right coverage for anything you need, you guys can find it. You're not tied down to one provider. You go out, like we've talked about before, you see the logo outside the building, you're either going to have to go with that person or go to 12 different people who have different companies providing for them. You guys can do it all as a one-stop shop.
Yeah, we're an independent insurance agency, like you said, in Horace, the building south of Big Irv's, across the street from the fire department. Like Zach said, I mean, we can work with over 20 different carriers, and, we usually do use all 20 to figure out what best fits your home auto, life health needs, and commercial. We can reach us at tundrainsurance.com or call 701-969-1661.
Atta baby.
Take you through a automated system to get to me or Ross. But, reach us there. And like Zach said, sometimes you walk into one of these places that are just, their own insurance company, like those big corporate named insurance companies. And you're taking a little bit of a risk just because you're only going to get one quote with us. So we can get, 10 to 20 different quotes. And just if it's the cheapest option that you want, we can get you that. Or if it's the most coverage you want, we can get you that. And we're just here to fit whatever, best fits your needs.
I think as something as important as insurance, it kind of gets stuffy. And like you said, corporate is probably the right word, but I've never been in a more relaxed office. You guys, if you come into the office, you can hear Quinn and Ross yelling at each other all the time from each of their offices.
It's
laid back. It's family owned. It's small business. We love supporting that. So come check out Tundra Insurance for all your insurance needs. I'm kind of debating where to go next. Let's talk about the rest of the season.
Yeah.
There's one big one.
Well, before the games, it's bye week this week.
Yeah.
What a weird.
Hey.
So we talked about earlier in the season, like, oh, that'd be weird to have a bye week that late. Imagine having
no better time.
No better time, but no weirder time. Because we've, you know, the first, when I was a freshman, and I don't think it's like this anymore, but when I was a freshman and we lost to SDSU for the first time in, you know, what was it, 8 years? Those seniors, I saw some crazy stuff during practice.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, and you,
heads rolling.
Heads rolling. I mean, if you know, you know. But as a freshman, after that Monday spider practice, some of the stuff I saw, I was like, okay, just keep your head down. Just don't say a word, which I never did anyways. But especially now, like, just keep quiet. Let the boys, you know, get their aggression out. Then they'll be fine. But can you imagine just 2 weeks of sulking and SDSU loss? And they're not because, like, they got to be over it by now. I'm sure they are.
It has to be done. You're getting ready for Illinois State.
Yeah. But honestly, like, yeah, it's a good time. I mean, four games left, or is it three?
Four.
Four games left.
Just injury-wise.
Injury-wise, we're hurt. I mean, guys are busted up. I don't think anything is, like, season-ending.
Yeah.
But guys are just, you know.
The stuff you deal with throughout a season.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand the safe haven that a week eight bye week is, just for how bad week eight. This is when it starts to turn into the dog days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have four games in the conference left. You're looking at the playoffs. Yeah. You're hoping you get that Thanksgiving bye.
I imagine right now everyone that is completely healthy is practicing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the practices are a little bit shorter at this point. Maybe not.
Oh, dude, I talked to someone.
Are they like 20?
Those boys are getting spoiled.
Oh, okay. So I imagine this week is guys that are healthy. Are out there practicing, probably spiders, half pads max.
I don't think it'll be crazy.
No, I doubt it's even full pads, which if you're an O or D lineman, you know there's literally no difference.
Around week eight is when the practices start to get shorter anyway. Right.
And then anyone that's healthy is going probably. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's even dinged up a little bit, they're probably just, hey, they're probably running with Kramer. They're probably doing stuff, recovery, running with Mason.
They're not just doing all that.
No, they're not taking the week off by any means, because, you know, you still hopefully have 2.5 more months of football.
Right.
But they're at least recovering their bodies and, you know, taking at least a little bit of a break physically as far as practice.
Yeah, I think even guys who get a lot of snaps, I know the older guys on the O-line always get rested during bye weeks. We like to call it, like, it's big-time young guy stuff is when, like, weeks like this come up when, you know, Cody, Nash, Kubis, Mason are probably not Mason because he's still young, but guys who are probably creeping towards 750, 900 snaps already this season. Yeah. Like, how crazy is that to think about, by the way? But
and then, like, just career-wise, too, I mean.
Yeah, Nash will be remembered as a legit Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, Ross talked about it. I think he'll play in, like, 48 career games or something like that.
Yeah.
Or started 48.
Started and then.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
More than that. I don't even know.
Yeah. It's going to be like a 2,000 snaps.
Like, what did Cordell play in? Did he hit?
No, I think Cordell played 3 whole years.
Okay.
So less, but.
Appeared in more just because of
appeared in 4
sophomore year.
Yeah. But. It'll probably just, like, you're obviously still sharpening it, but you know you have another week of prep for Illinois State, so I don't think it's going to be too crazy. I can't imagine how good the guys feel having a week 8 bye.
Yeah. And like I said, obviously, like, they're still pit. I mean, vibes would have been so high if they would have won the FCSU game
right in
and had the way the 8 week, but week 8 bye.
Wow. Oh,
need to slow down when I talk.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, yeah, it's got to feel good just to, because usually it is play non-con, bye week, 8 weeks in Missouri Valley.
Yep.
Now,
which is a grind.
Very much a grind. But they played seven or eight games, and now they get the bye. And now, hopefully, like I said, hopefully this is just like a halfway point.
Right.
So.
Cannot coming up, we have Illinois State, Western Illinois, Southern Illinois, and the team from up north.
Lowercase U and D.
Yeah. Yeah. Illinois State sitting at 4-2 right now. Definitely not a game that you can just chalk up as a win automatically.
No, they always play us tough. 9-3 in the quarterfinals.
The ugliest football game I've ever seen.
People forget, like, because Trey was so good that year, our offense was so good, our defense played lights out. Mm-hmm. We still had some stingers.
Yeah,
we were 16-0, but it was that game, the regular season game against Missouri State.
Yeah,
remember? Yes. It was like 12-7, basically the whole game, and then we scored a late touchdown.
Yep,
which was our only touchdown of the game. Like. We played. We didn't play perfect games in 2019, as much as people think. And like that was a great team, and we played great. But it's not like we beat everyone 48-0.
And we were a big time team of two halves that year.
Yeah,
a big time like slow first half starts, and then light people on fire in the second half. But
is Stash guy still the head coach?
Yeah, Bo.
What?
Bo Schembechler? No, I'm an idiot. I might have to cut that. That's bad.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Spack.
Spack.
Spack or Spock. Brock's back.
Wow, we are some big-time insiders.
Bo Schembechler?
He was the coach for Michigan.
We're leaving that in. The 80s. That's the biggest CTE moment of the show's history.
I'm cutting it.
So we're leaving it in. But
I'm cutting it.
No.
If you make fun of me, you're making fun of head injuries, yeah. Just so. Everybody's on the same page.
But if he's still the head
Brock's
coach,
back, yes. Yeah,
if he's still the head coach, you know, they've always game planned us well.
They're a good team.
Yeah, and we whooped up on him in the regular season in 2019.
Yeah,
but that playoff game 9-3, they just double fired both sides all game.
Yeah, I can't, dude. I'm still not over Bo Schembechler. That's the worst thing ever. Wow, I'm gonna get roasted for that.
That was awesome.
Then after that. I believe it's Western, then Southern. I have just the conference standings pulled up, and Western's 0-6. That game is in Macomb.
It's gross. There's going to be nobody there. That's like,
big time bring your own energy because it's cold out.
Yeah.
The game is late.
And it's the cold at night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's 47 people in the stands.
Maybe. And it's all NDSU, too.
Right.
That's the closest to like a high school football game feel I ever experienced.
Yeah. We had more people at West Fargo games.
Yeah. Cheyenne.
Shut up. Larimore.
Fargo South.
Save Davies. It. Quinn's not even, or Ty's Horse. Not even here. Stop. Then we go play Southern Illinois, who's 5-2 right now, 4-0 in conference. Looking good.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's, you know.
And that was, obviously, we went in 2019, that was another one we went to, and that was a tough game.
That was a dogfight.
Yeah, because we were down.
Third and Kaporis came out.
And we were down at half, and I think we just scored in the third, and then I think it was just, you know, no one scored after that, so we barely beat them too. And then obviously the spring game in 21, which
that was not good.
Yeah. So they've played us really tough the last few years.
So you know, a tough opponent coming out of the bye.
Still have 15.
Yeah, he's still playing. Yeah. Ugh.
Might be a problem.
He's good. He's really good.
And he's bigger than our entire defense.
Yeah. But he's, like I said, you're coming out of the bye week. You have a tough opponent in Illinois State. That game's being played at home, so you kind of hang your hat on that. Love home games. And then you're headed to a two-week stretch where you got to keep your own energy up against Western Illinois because nobody else is going to bring it. And then
And Southern should be decent.
Western is one of these games where – that'll truly kind of give me a litmus test of where this team is.
They can't go out there and play like they did against Indiana State.
No.
Especially if Western's 0-7 or 0-8 by that point.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've had their bye week already. No, they haven't because they're 0-7. So they play one more game until then. So if they're 0-8 or even if they're 1-7.
Right.
Or because 1-6. You can't go there. And I know we say any road win in the Valley is a good win. Can't go there and win by 6 points.
Yeah.
But if you do, we will come on here and still say it's a good run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. I've said this a bunch, but when you beat yourselves, you breathe energy into bad football teams.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with, you know, I wouldn't say USD is a bad football team, but that's what happened. They're 1-5. They might be bad.
USDS?
Yeah.
Yeah. They played some tough teams, I guess, but.
And then, yeah. And then you look at Indiana State, who was never really a, they're a lower tier Missouri Valley team, and we let them hang around. But then you see the glimpse, like the first half against SDSU, and you're like, if we played like this all the time, we would beat everybody by 70.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even be a question. Wow. So that's, you have to play with that same energy against SDSU in the first half against Macomb, or against Western Illinois in Macomb, when it's 28 degrees outside. And that's how you know you're really solidifying yourself for a deep playoff run.
Right.
And we're burying the lead here. The last game of the season is in the Fargo Dome against the Chicken Hawks.
We won't talk about that one right now. We'll plan some fun stuff for that one. I think we want to get some guys in here to talk about it.
Maybe some older guys.
Make fun of them.
Yeah. But I like how this season's shaping up. You get a little bit of a taste of, you know, maybe a team where you get some guys some rest against Western Illinois, save some reps on their legs. But you get three games in the last four that are true, you know, sharpen your knife moments. You get to get better before you head into the playoffs, and, you know, hopefully you go 4-0 in those four, get the Thanksgiving break, because this is another thing that is not discussed. SDSU will probably have a bad loss in the rest of the season, because they usually do.
They usually do, and I'm not – but – they are, and like, I don't, Kendra said Ty's impression of me was great. I don't really mind him.
Yeah.
I don't like SDSU, but I don't think they are the SDSU of old, where they're just going to lose to a bad Northern Iowa team this year.
Sure.
I don't see them really losing.
Okay.
If they do, then I take all that back, and they are just same old SDSU.
Right.
That circle our game, and then forget about every other game on the schedule. Because the first 2 years they beat us, in 2016 and 2017, Their losses were to bet, like, they had a USD loss one of those years, which I get, that's their rivalry game too.
Yep.
So that's a big game for them, so maybe something happens there. But they lost to Southern 1 year before Southern was like what they are now.
Right.
So like you said, historically they've had a bad loss. I don't know if this team necessarily.
Didn't they go up and lose to UND?
Last year.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
Barf.
I know. So that's what their quarterback's healthy.
Yep.
Davis is a little banged up. He was in and out of the second half.
Visibly
injured. Yeah. So, not hopefully, whatever. But I'm assuming that they're just going to rest him as much as possible until he gets like fully healthy. As long as they're a healthy team, I just don't really see them losing a bad football game.
Well, you could say hopefully that they rest him and he's back to full speed. But we know Stig's capacity for and love for playing injured players. So
Fargo don't brought the juice on Saturday.
We're canceled. But like I said, it's not like we're going to walk through the last four. But I think that's good.
But it's a good four.
You come out healthy of this bye week, and you have to just have what is remaining of this full squad left going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
you know what will help going into this final stretch of the season?
What's that, Quinn?
That big brick building put up on University, the indoor practice facility. I don't think we should say the full name of the indoor practice facility.
The unnamed
insurance carrier.
Blank.
That's what we'll do. We'll figure out how to bleep this again. The indoor practice facility.
You can't act like we bleeped that when you grunted because you sat up.
Yeah, sorry.
That thing's sweet, man.
Oh,
and
so cool.
You know, we're
not even done yet.
No.
They're just opening it up so the boys can practice on the turf.
Phase one, yeah.
That, I didn't know really the setup for it, so now by seeing the pictures, they're putting an extra weight room in there, which I knew about.
Yep.
Looks sweet. And, like, they have that turf. And that's where those garage doors are at.
Yeah.
Where it connects to the field on University.
It's awesome.
Oh, looks so cool.
Yeah, because then, you know, if you want to.
Those locker rooms? Where are they putting those locker rooms at? Is that like an upstairs thing? Because aren't they putting like a second level? One of those corners sides has a second level.
Yeah, one level is weight room, one level is locker room, whatever it is. That's huge, not only for football, but because you get 115 guys. We're taking up a lot of space in the weight room when we're in there lifting. So it frees up a lot of time and space for other sports at the shack.
I can't even imagine the sick stuff that's running through Kramer's mind as far as workouts.
Yeah.
Where he just has access to literally like just walk 10 feet from a weight room. He could take 10 strides from the weight room to the turf field.
Well, you already know
that's
what
sicko stuff.
One of the Devo lifts is going to be is putting the new weight room together.
Yeah. We didn't even have to do any of that because like whenever they made the shack or whenever they redid the shack.
Yeah.
Because you were never in the meat market.
I was never in Cray Market. No.
The Cray Market. I honestly love that place.
Yeah.
It was just so like just kind of nasty
gritty.
Yeah. But then we moved in. So like I was there during my, what was it? Yeah, it was my freshman summer, and then like most of fall camp, and then when school started, they moved us in there, and it was like whoa, like Gatorade machines.
Yeah.
Before that. You never had this. They would have buckets. It was just these machines that you would like put slushies in, but instead they would just put water and they would put Gatorade mix. Uh-huh. Well, sometimes they'd have leftovers from the day before, so then they would put a different Gatorade mix in there. So you never knew like what flavors you were drinking.
Yeah,
one of them looked lemon lime, which probably was, and then one of them was just brown. And you just never knew what the brown was.
It's like grape and blue cherry.
Yeah, I mean it was insane. But sometimes those flavors were crazy good.
We're hitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to experience the grittiness that was Kramart, but it's going to be huge. And I think what it is a true manifestation of the success and the foundation that was built by former players and carried on by guys that are happening now or that are playing now, because I think they deserve facilities like this for the work they do and how they represent themselves as far as the guys that are playing currently.
Yeah,
I think it's good for them. Apologize for this awkward break. That was Quinn's fault. He was asking me how long the podcast had been, and
I broke Zach's brain.
Yeah, my brain literally stopped working. But you know what I think the funniest part is, and a guy I want to have on the podcast is Dave Schultz. His week was grit week.
Yeah, never again,
buddy. Well, if you think they're not practicing outside when they go play Western Illinois, you're crazy.
They'll do it. Yeah,
and Southern 2 weeks straight.
Right.
But it'll be limited. They'll do like the important stuff and install and walkthroughs and inside and then go do indie, like just to acclimate. And
oh my God, dude, do you remember those times we would like do the warm-ups and walkthroughs in the track building?
Yes.
And then
we'd
get sweaty with our eight layers on,
and then we would go
outside for 13 periods.
Do you remember
like inside running team
when we would do one? We did one-on-ones once, and I just like slid because it was ice underneath the grass.
Yeah, it was gross.
No, it's cool to see, and I'm excited to see how that helps recruiting and our advancement to the FBS, because I think that's a big thing. That's an FBS facility, so
yeah.
Let's talk about Big Deck Barbecue quick before we wrap the show up here.
Finally.
New packaging is fully rolled out.
Sweet.
We're still clearing up some inventory on Big Deck Barbecue as far as the old stuff, but go get you some of that. It's still 30% off. We're getting it out. It's the old bottles, but as soon as those are cleared up, we'll get everything updated with the new product pictures, all that good stuff. I've had some questions. It's the same recipes. Nothing has changed of what's inside the bottle or the amount inside the bottle. It's the same good stuff that you know and love. Go get you some Hornbacher, Shields. I don't even know where we're available. Meats by John and Wayne. No free ads, but go support Big Dyke Barbecue. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah. When are you opening catering?
Never.
Or you can just bully Zach into catering food like I did for my baby shower this upcoming weekend.
That's more what happens. If you hit me up and you pay for the product, I can cook it.
Yeah.
Because I like doing that, so. If Mr. Health Inspector, you're listening, I don't get paid. It's not part of our business to make. It is not affiliated with Big Deck Barbecue.
He's getting paid in Miller Lite on Saturday morning.
Correct.
From like 9 to 1.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only payment I need. Go check it out. Wherever you grocery shop, we're pretty much available. If we're not, find somebody who's in charge over there. Tell them you want it there. We'll get it there. Or just hit us up at BigDeckBBQ.com. Check out the new packaging. Check out the new labels. Same great stuff.
Yeah. Pro Bison stuff this week. I don't think anything crazy. I know Carson got hurt. That's like a 4 to 6 week thing. Yeah. Dude, that so broken finger.
Yeah.
And when he was shaking that out on slow-mo.
It looked like his hand was rubber.
How bad do you think that hurt while he was doing that? I don't know Carson at all. He's like just the crap he's done in the last couple of years, spraining both ankles.
Right.
Like just never gives up on a play. He's the craziest dude of all time. He thought he just had a jammed finger and he was like trying to loosen it up by shaking his hand. And
fractured.
It was just broken in like three spots.
I think
he's like too tough.
Yeah, I think that's genuinely probably people's critique, what it boils down to, even when it comes down to like some of the silly interceptions he has and stuff. He never gives up on the play.
Well, no, but then like last year when he hurt his ankle, I was like, well, it's fine. And then like he literally had two sprained ankles.
Yeah.
And he just taped them both up and was just like playing as an NFL quarterback with two sprained ankles.
Yeah.
Like he's just a tough dude. But
yeah, and then like what he thought was like a strained back, he had broke vertebra. Like he's an absolute lunatic.
Yeah.
I have a problem with Carson's career because obviously I don't think he lived up to his potential. So far, his career is not over. But the injury-prone tag is annoying because a lot of that stuff was out of his control. He can't control if he sprains an ankle. He can't control if he broke his back. He can't control when he tore his ACL.
Right.
He can't control he broke his finger. Like, you can call someone injury-prone when it's soft tissue stuff or they always have some nagging injury, whatever. I don't see Carson as injury-prone. I just don't think, obviously, the mental situations he was put into with them building his back up a statue outside of the stadium, that would have some damage on your psyche. But I hope he figures it out in Washington and gets another year to really prove himself and kind of right this ship, because it's hard to just walk in one year and fix that place, especially because it was not in that a great shape anyway.
That place is a mess. I guess to end, I had a little topic here. Obviously, if you were watching college football or around a TV this weekend, we talked about it. Tennessee gets the hump up.
So awesome.
Finally gets a win against Bama.
Yeah.
I think it would have been 15 years.
16, 15 or 16. There's no better scene than college kids rushing the field after I just don't see that passion in the NFL.
Right.
And that's why I love college football more. The quality isn't as good. They're not professionals. They're not paid to play the sport. Well, they kind of are now. But, like, there's that video. I don't know if you saw it.
You just had old people shaking their fists listening. They are paid.
Yeah. They get a scholarship. they're paid in free education. I'm just – okay.
bleep that out, too.
No. I don't know the young man's name, but he caught 5 touchdown passes for like 220 yards on like 6 receptions.
Yeah. Against Bama.
Bama. And just like a straight up Randy Moss stat line when he on Thanksgiving, like four catches, three touchdowns. 210 yards, whatever it was. But there's a video going around on TikTok of him catching one of them and the Bama kid misses a tackle. And you see the Bama kid, he's on all fours, and he hangs his head as he watches him run into the end zone. You see the fans and the coaches going, dude, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, I am a college guy over NFL. It's just way more fun. The product isn't as good, which I think lends to it being more fun.
Yeah.
And
it's just so chaotic.
There hasn't been a season this fun in a long time. There's more parity than there ever has been. TCU is good. Tennessee is good. It's just like the non-traditional powers this year. My Notre Dame Fighting Irish are not good. But
you want me to make old people really mad?
Yeah.
You know why there's so much parity?
Why?
It's because of the NIL.
Of course.
And like,
they're getting good teams to go or good players to go elsewhere.
All these Texas teams, like Houston, I don't know if they're good right now, but Houston, they're moving to the Big 12. If you don't think there's money in Houston,
Yeah.
What's another one? Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is historically bad, mm-hmm. but Georgia Tech's in the middle of Atlanta. I think they're like less than a mile away from Chick-fil-A headquarters,
yeah.
Coca-Cola headquarters.
Yep.
Like Georgia Tech's going to be good in a couple of years.
Dude, Syracuse is the 13th team in the country right now.
Bama is just Bama currently because they still have Saban and they still have their name.
They'll be.
No one's going to want to go to Birmingham when, you know.
Tuscaloosa, friend.
Oh, what's in Birmingham? Oh, is that the Senior Bowl?
Sure.
I don't know. That's my team moment of the day.
It's Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, Michigan, Clemson, Alabama, Ole Miss, TCU, UCLA, Oregon State, or Oklahoma State, Southern California, Wake Forest, Syracuse, Utah, Penn State, Kansas State, Illinois, Kentucky, Texas, Cincinnati, UNC, NC State, Mississippi State, and Tulane. Tulane's in the top 25. JMU was in the top 25. There's teams that historically don't have a sniff at this thing that are being ranked in the top 10, top 15, and it's really cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk, before we leave, the students rushing the field.
Yeah.
It looks super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I need you talking to the mic. It looks super cool, but can you imagine how angry you would be if you were a Bama player and you had this yippie, like, Tennessee, like,
frat boy.
Yeah, like 5'8", buck 15, and you could just LeGarrette Blount him.
I would have Davante Adams him.
Yeah.
Speaking of that.
Shout out Davante. I don't care. That's hilarious.
I don't know about shout out Davante, but that was something is what it was.
Move.
That happened my freshman year when we played JMU.
Oh, really?
I watched a Bison fan getting a JMU player's face, and he just absolutely cleaned his clock.
See,
you deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
That's what I want these fans to realize. The fans that decide to rush the field.
Yeah.
If you're going to the middle of the field and you're just going in there to cheer, that's fine. Yeah. Maybe you have good intentions. Mm-hmm. But
if you're seeking out players.
One, if you're, let's just say, number one, once you step on the field, you should know, like, you know, head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Two, head on a swivel, especially if you're, like, trying to find opposing team players. Buddy, like I said,
there's, you deserve, like,
some, there's some Tennessee frat boy that's a 5'8", a buck 25.
Has a black eye this morning.
Yeah, like broken, probably broke his tailbone when he, like, sat him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, be cautious.
Yeah.
And, like, the guy Davante pushed did not deserve that. No, man was trying to do his job.
Yeah.
Was still funny, but the fans that decide, and it's the same thing with basketball. That's the crazy part. Football, I almost understand more. Except for football, when fans rush the field, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Basketball, I always thought it was weird when, fans would storm during, like, a regular season game, because it seems like there is parity more in basketball, because, like, number one teams lose all the time. Bama doesn't lose all the time. So I kind of understand Tennessee fans doing it. When I see it in basketball, and I see it, like, literally every night, there's a team that – here's when it bothers me. If I saw – a, like, number 15 ranked team play a home game against, like, a number 8 ranked team. And I've seen this before.
Yeah.
The number 15 ranked home team beats the number 8 team away team, and the fans rush. And it's like,
that's weird.
It's like,
you're seven spots different. Do not rush the court.
Like, yeah, we can chill out a little bit.
Even if you beat a number 1 team, it's like, okay, it's a Tuesday night in Wichita.
Yeah.
You beat Kentucky. Like, sweet.
Uh-huh.
You beat Alabama on a Saturday night in Knoxville. Buddy, you're raging. You're burning the town down.
Right.
My only other question is, how did they get the goalposts out of the stadium to throw them in the river?
Dude, that was hilarious.
Did they drop it over the side?
Just one of the railings of, like, a bridge, I'm sure. That's what
how did they get it out of the stadium? I haven't seen an answer yet. Because they were carrying it up the stands.
Oh, I was assuming they went through one of the tunnels.
That's what I thought too, but I saw the video. They're climbing up the stands with it. I just pray to God they did not drop that thing off the side of the stadium. I don't think they did. That would have been a bigger story, but they must have found a tunnel to get it out of.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my brother, and he's like, well, how does that happen? I'm like, you literally just have to get enough people on it until you break the bolts to get it out.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you need equipment.
Because they're not permanently in there. I mean, they move equipment all the time.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with the Fargo Dome. Once they have concerts and stuff.
I mean, you saw in the NFL when guys were dunking. That's why dunking isn't allowed in the new celebration rules. Is because, like, they're not in there. Like, they're not super sturdy.
Dude.
They're too. The shape of a field goal post is so weird.
Yeah.
Like, they almost can't put it in, like, as like good as they can. Because, like, it's going to, like, mess up something with it. But
I just... All of the scenery around it, like the cigar smoke that was pillowing out of the stadium. And then when you can see somebody ask the president of the school, like, how much is that going to cost when they broke the goalpost? And he's like, don't matter. Like, that is so sick, man. Yeah.
As long as everyone's bought into the idea. Like,
yeah.
As long as you have the president of the university being like, who gives a?
Yeah.
Like,
by the way, it has to, apparently they're hard to get. Like
field goal posts?
Yeah,
I imagine so.
They're not just like on rush order.
No.
They're like $100,000.
Well, especially ones that have to like meet requirements.
Right.
Because the NCAA ones are much different than NFL ones.
Yeah, so you can't like just pick up and grab one from whoever. But just absolute psychos in Knoxville. Like people tearing out chunks of grass of the checkerboard in the end zone. Yeah. It's like just
no,
crazy
you saw that
down.
That tweet. It was like, no, but really, who took that chunk of grass? It was some like 50-year-old lady bent over, like shoving it in her purse.
Dude, crazy move. How easy could she got ran over during that?
Oh my God.
Just absolute animals. That's why I love college football. Yeah. Just stuff like that. You don't get that in the NFL.
No. They kind of let, like, really in college, they let fans do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, I'm the farthest thing from a Gopher fan, but I rushed the field when they beat Wisconsin last year, and I was, like, holding the Paul Bunyan trophy, like, just losing my mind.
Ski your mom, my friend.
Save it.
Roll that boat.
You don't mind SCSU anyway, so.
Yeah, well, at least I don't, you know, approve of
it. Oh, stop.
Snake oil salesman.
Oh, stop. I think that's really all we have today.
Yeah.
Not much, obviously, bye week. No.
We'll try to get, because next week we won't have a game to recap.
We'll have to do something fun.
Yeah, we'll think of something for you guys. Yeah.
Maybe call one of our professional football player friends, see if we can get them up.
We might be too big time for them already.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to Cordell. I don't know.
We know he does. We know he doesn't listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw you, Cordell. All right. Appreciate you guys for listening. Go Bison. I'm going to steal your line.
It's still Go Bison. Cheer up, everybody.
Yeah. Just have fun. Enjoy the bye week. Get everything back in control.
Have a Chubbs day.
Hey, go find a small business or something to support. Go to a pumpkin patch on Saturday. Yeah. Take the kids out.
Oh, I need to share this. I think I sent you this snap this morning. All the turmoil, supposedly, that's been going on the last few days. I walk into the weight room this morning, and they have the Arizona NDSU game on. And I'm just like, this is the last thing I need. I just, like, immediately, like, I don't have access to the channel, so I just walked by it and just didn't look up at any of the TVs all morning. But
right now, I'm going to lean on a dear, dear friend of mine. You may have known him. His name is Jackie Moon. Everybody just love everybody.
ELE.
ELE. That's what we need. Yeah.
That'll cheer you up. Just go watch Semi-Pro. The poker scene in Semi-Pro is like top five scene of all time.
Absolutely. All right, guys. We appreciate you.
Go Bison.